Can you guys see your Bible over there? It's so dark out over there. Would you like to move it this side? Probably not. All right. While you're turning your Bible, let's start. During the time of end of Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, there is a great period of time. They're just coming back from the exile in the Babylon. And before they start the New Testament period, or century zero, that's the time when there are not a lot of things happening in the nation of Israel. And that's the about 400 years period that God did not speak to the nation of Israel too. There was no prophet speaking oracle of God to them, and God was completely silenced from heaven. Until Jesus came, until John the Baptist came, who is the last prophet. Now, there are a full group of people happened during that time. First one is the scribes, second one is the Pharisees, third one is scribes and the Sadducees and the Herodians. Let's start with the scribes. Scribes started at the great beginning. Ezra, scribe Ezra, was the founder, and they are the expounder of the Old Testament scriptures. And they are the one who explained the Old Testament to the people who do not know how to read or do not have understanding. It's a great beginning. However, they became such a hair splitter. They was literally split, not literally, spiritual hairs. They will split the spiritual hairs. And they become one who make a burden on the people's lives. They tell the people what to do, what not to do. And they were concentrating the letters of the law more than the spirit of the law of the Old Testament. Second group of people would be Pharisees. We know them. Pharisees are like legalist people. Yes, they are legalist people, but they also had a great beginning. They start with a great beginning and with following God's way according to Jewish way by the Old Testament law. They are the strict legalist and they honor everything mentioned in the Old Testament. Again, they become turning into the legalist at the finest, and they are nationalist when it comes to politics. They are the one who would fight against Roman government every step of the way. And they put the burden on the people's lives because they are the one who more like a Old Testament Gestapo. Third group of people is Sadducees. These people do not have a deep spiritual depth. They are the political, more like a social and economical wealthy people, and they are the one controlling people's lives financially. And they wanted to get rid of tradition. They do not follow the Old Testament way, so they constantly go against the Pharisees. If you consider the Pharisees like a Republican Party people, kind of conservative, you can say the Sadducees more like a liberal Democrat people. So there will be quick understanding. And they get along well with the Greek Epicurean people. You're okay, I'm okay, everybody's okay, so whatever, it doesn't matter. The last group of people is Herodians. Herodians is a group of party that who support King Herod, Herod the Great. They are the political opportunists. And they don't care what's going on. As long as they have King Herod on the throne, they have a power. That's all that matters to them. While the King Herod is on the throne, they will make money. They will have a power. They will enjoy that elite privilege. This is the time when Jesus came into the picture, and we will see this. Jesus colliding with these people. Let me make a statement. There's a little heaven and hell difference. Let me repeat one more time. There's a little heaven and hell difference between religion and relationship with Jesus Christ, or known as a regeneration in Christ. Religion is man's way. Let me define the religion. Religion is a man's human external effort to obtain God's favor. It gives a false hope, it has empty faith. However, regeneration through Jesus Christ is true way. Anything other than Christianity is a religion. You might say, preacher, you have a narrow mind. Yes, I do have a very, very narrow mind because that's what this Bible says so. Christianity is not a religion. It's a lifestyle. That's something we have to live. It's not something we just do or try to gain favor of God. If you come here to gain the favor of God, you came to the wrong place. This is not the place to gain the favor of God. You can be homebound, still gain the favor of God if you follow God's way and obey His word. Relationship with Jesus Christ comes from the inside, not outside. Obedience and compliance and following His way. Not outward rituals. Some of the people would love to see the rituals. They will go through all the rituals. It makes them feel good because they think that they are somehow arriving to the spiritual height, some certain level, enlightenment. That's not what God is looking for. Let's start at the verse 1 of chapter 7, and we will pray. Heavenly Father, we don't want to have a religion. We want to have a relationship with you and through your Son, Jesus Christ. His atoning sacrifice, because of His atoning sacrifice and resurrection, we can receive eternal life in Him, that we may have eternal life in heaven with you. We are asking you to open our heart to receive your word and your wisdom to understand the difference between regeneration and religion. Let us learn from these scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees, and Herodians' bad example, and so that we may not do them, be like them. And we also pray for our troops around the world and their safety. And we also pray for the safety of our law enforcement and the firefighters in this community. We are asking you to hand it upon them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, I forgot to mention this. Probably my wife would kill me if I don't tell you now. You guys are all invited to our vow renewal. It's going to be done at the Green Valley Baptist Church the 31st of March, 6:30. 6:30 means 6:30, okay? That's my time. You can mark time on it. If you don't make RSVP, there won't be a food waiting for you. So please RSVP to Karen or me or call me or email me, whichever you can do. Let's start at verse 1. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples ate bread and defiled, that is, with unwashed hand, they found fault. They found fault. They love to find fault in people's lives. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in special ways, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like washing cups and pitchers and copper vessels and couches. And the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do you disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hand?" This official delegation who came from Israel, this is the second delegation. We found the first one in Mark chapter 2. They came with a harsh attitude and condemnation attitude toward Jesus Christ. These people came second time to check him out, but they came with already decision in their heart. They didn't come to Jesus to compare him against Old Testament scripture, but they came with their own tradition in their mind. They are not putting Jesus against the scripture, but they are putting Jesus against their own tradition. Of course, Jesus would not go along with their own tradition. The religious leaders speak of elaborate ceremonial washing. Okay, let's think about this. When we have dirty hands before we eat, we go to the bathroom and we wash our hands. Nothing wrong with it. It's good for personal hygiene, especially nowadays when all this cough and flu is going around. It's good for you to wash your hand. However, their washing hands is not for the personal hygiene. They have a special stone jar made for to hold this water, because any water is could be considered as unclean. So this, they have a special water stone jar for this special purpose. And they pick up the water amount of no more than one and a half egg shell. So it's not much to wash your hands. First, they drip the water from the top and from finger to the wrist. Okay, and they go like this, rubbing their fist into the palm. And after that, they let it drip another one and a half eggshell amount of water from the wrist to the finger. Make sure they are cleansed. Do you really think that you can clean your hand with that small amount of water? I don't. So after that, they eat food. Now, as I said, it's not for the personal hygiene. It is for more like a ceremonial cleansing. Strict Jew will do this every course. Not just before the meal, they will do it in between the meals. This is not mentioned in the Old Testament. You cannot find anywhere in the Old Testament you have to wash your hands in certain way, in this way. Otherwise, you are considered unclean. If you can find it in two locations, first one is Talmud, and the second one is Mishnah. Talmud is the first section of the Talmud. I'm sorry, the collection of ancient rabbinic writing consisting of Mishnah and Gemara, and constituting basis of the religious authority in Orthodox Judaism. Mishnah is the oral interpretation of Talmud. First section of Talmud being collection of the only oral interpretation of the scripture as compiled of around 280. In other words, this is not the scripture, but it's the interpretation of people. Let me make a quick example, our example. Our forefather wrote the Constitution, correct? According to that Constitution, we have a freedom of religion, freedom of faith, goes on. However, Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to the personal friend, private letter, and it states about separation of church and the state. In other words, if you understand it correctly, in context, the state should not control the church, so you need to be separate. Guess what the Supreme Court decided with a liberal mind, how they decided is, church cannot impose on the state, so-called federal and state government or city government. So we hear all these ACLU people says state and the church separation. They're getting this out of wrong context, their own interpretation. That's the exact same kind of situation with these people. They have a Mishnah and they have a Talmud, but that does not jive with the Old Testament law. You follow me? So that's the situation. Tradition is good. Show the rich heritage, and it's become a cement between the one generation to the second next generation. However, when the tradition starts to override the word of God, that tradition must be out. And you may say, well, we don't do that kind of thing anymore. We don't have that kind of tradition anymore. Let's see a little bit more. Verse 6. He answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of hypocrites, you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That would be Isaiah 29:13. And in vain they worship me, teaching as a doctrine the commandment of man. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of man, washing the pitcher and the cups, and many other such things you do. And he said to them, all too well do you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. And Moses said, "Honor your father and your mother, and you, he who cursed your father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if man said to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a korban, that is a gift of God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do." Jesus is defending his disciples' action with the prophet Isaiah 29:13 and Exodus chapter 20 and 21. That's not how you're supposed to do it, but these people are taking out of context their own interpretation. They're making on their tradition, and they're using their tradition over the God's word. As I said, we don't do that, right? However, how about this? Some denominations say that if you are not baptized, you cannot go to heaven. Have you ever heard that kind of thing before? Yes, you have. And some of the denominations say you have to be baptized by our denomination, otherwise you cannot go to heaven. Where? Where do you find that in this Bible? You don't. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to be baptized to be saved. Good example? The guy on the cross next to Jesus. Thief on the cross. He couldn't come down. He was kind of stuck. No pun intended. Yes, I had the pun intended. He didn't have a chance to come down. He couldn't get baptized. What did Jesus say to him? "You will be with me in paradise today." Is Jesus' word more important than man's denominational regulation and rules? Yes. How about this? Speaking in tongue. And you're thinking, uh-oh, you're going to go that direction? Yes, I'm going to go direction. How about this? If you're speaking in tongue, you're the devil's child. And the other direction says, if you don't speak in tongue, you're not saved. Where? Find me one section. One section in the Bible that if you don't speak in tongue, you're not saved. Find me one section that speaking in tongue is not now. Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever, same. Same gift he gives me, same gift he gives to you. We come up with our own doctrines. And we say, well, because we've been doing this in our denomination, you cannot do it the other way around. Says where? This has final authority, folks. Nothing more. Nothing less. Nothing else. Verse 14. When he had called all multitude to himself. Why am I yelling? He said to them, "And hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enter a man from the outside can defile him, and but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Again, what Jesus said is so true. There's nothing goes into man's stomach would defile. Yes, there's a things that if we input in our mindset, it will defile us, such as pornography. It will defile us. However, not the food. There's no such a thing as unclean food. You might be finicky. You may not like the one particular food. That's fine. Just hand it to me. I'll eat it. Like a sushi. I'll eat that thing. Food has nothing to do with the clean or unclean. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speak. Let's face it, folks. Our heart is wicked to begin with. Right? Our hearts are wicked to begin with. From that heart, from that wicked heart, the things happen. Let's continue in verse 17. And when he had entered the house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Probably Jesus said, duh, right? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart but his stomach and is eliminated, thus purifying all food? And he said, what comes out of man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of man proceed, look what kind of thing we have, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And all these evil things come from within and defile a man. Jesus' explanation seems obvious to us. And we must remember these 12 people were thinking, we don't get it. Remember, these 12 people are so riddled with, they've been living in this tradition for how ever since they were born. So they cannot fathom anything other than food, clean or unclean. There's no such a thing as that you can eat anything you want and be grateful that God is providing for you. We have a hard time understanding why they go through that kind of thing. But remember, Apostle Peter was told by Jesus, there's no such a thing as unkosher. Everything is good to eat. However, in Acts chapter 10, verse 14, you see the Apostle Peter still struggling because so much tradition they were immersed themselves into. This dramatic confrontation, truth versus tradition, will irritate the religious leaders. More and more, they would have an excuse to try to kill him and try to go after his life. And that's why we are seeing him moving to the different location in later time. Before we leave this section, we must compare a few things. First, man's tradition versus God's truth. Would you put that light? Okay, thank you. Man's tradition said outward form, it gives bondage. However, God's truth is inward faith, gives liberty. Man's tradition says brings a legalism into our lives. However, God's truth brings dependence on God's grace and mercy. Man's tradition is nothing more than outward piety. I'm more holier than you. I do this, I do this, I do this. But you don't. It's nothing more than pride. It's piety. However, God's truth is true inward holiness. Man's tradition brings neglect and replace the word of God with their own tradition. But when we follow God's truth, we exalt the word of God and name of God. There's a huge danger in looking at this kind of list. Again, don't say that we don't do this. We have within our heart, we try to make ourselves better than other people. And we do that. And you may say, well, I don't have self-esteem. Well, let me put it this way. If you don't have self-esteem, and let's say I take a picture of you, all of you, right now, from here to here, and I hand you each of you the photo, guess which person you're looking for first? You, right? How do I look? Is my hair okay? Speaking of photo does not lie, right? And people say, oh, that's not a good photo. Well, sorry. I don't complain about photo because the original is bad, so well, that's how it goes. We have self-esteem. We have pride. Religion come out from pride. I'm better than you. I'm holier than you. So you have to be like me. And that's where the legalism come follow. Verse 24. From there, he arose and went to the region of the Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden. For for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. Woman was a Greek, and a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast demons out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even a little dog under the table eats from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Jesus came to the area, which is located about 40 to 50 miles, Tyre and Sidon. He was in Capernaum down here in the Sea of Galilee. So he traveled all the way up here. This is Gentile territory. And he traveled up there to be alone with his disciples. Of course, his reputation proceeded before him, and they found out, this woman found out that he was there. This kind of reminds me, previous incident was about the clean food and unclean food, right? This time, maybe God is trying to tell us about clean people, unclean people. Jewish people, Gentile people. Gentile people, the Jewish people consider the Gentiles are not a human. Actually, they even considered Gentile like you and me are there to continue to supply the fuel to the hell's fire. They literally considered the Gentile would not go to heaven because their birth. However, Jesus went there to spread his good news to Gentile people. Out of all this, especially in that society, the woman is low class. And this Gentile woman came to Jesus. And Jesus called her name as a little dog. Kind of in a way. If you want to insult Jewish people when you go to visit Israel, or when you meet one of those Israeli people, just say, "You're a dog." Nowadays, in our society, "What's up, dog?" And that's a cool thing. But when you say that kind, when you call the dog to the Jewish people, that is worst kind name. Especially if you call a Gentile dog. You're like a Gentile dog. That is the worst kind name. In the way Jesus calls the little dogs is like a puppy. Endearing way. It's a... "I will treat them later. First of all, I came here to take care of Jewish people. Then salvation will be available for the Gentile people." In my opinion, this is a stark contrast. Now, these Jewish people who came from Jerusalem to check out Jesus Christ, they had a religion, but they did not have a God in their heart. This Gentile woman, so-called the fuel for the hell's fire, had God in her heart, but without religion. Which one should be the right one? You know what? Which one? Religion, remember as I said before, religion is nothing more than human external effort to gain God's favor. In the gospel, Jesus said a great faith. This is the one occasion. Another one is what? Roman centurion. And Jesus healed both occasions. Let's make application. Number one, great faith is a faith that takes God at his word and will not go until God meets the needs, being persistent. Great faith can lay hold of even the slightest encouragement, like this woman did, and turn it into the fulfilled promise. Second application. God is not impressed with any type of self-formatted religion. God is not impressed with any type of self-formatted religion. But he loves to see us coming to him with humility and dependence on him. Folks, this brings me to my favorite thing. Some of you wondering, hey, preacher, why do you give a salvation call every time we finish? Let me put it this way. I may not see you again. You may not come back here, or I may not come back here. I might die on the way home. But I want to give you a chance to come to know Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter what it doesn't matter what kind of thing you've been doing. Religion will not save you. Coming to church will not save you. If you think that you come to church once a month, wow, God's going to say, woo-hoo-hoo, he came to church. Well, now what am I going to do? I got to give him brownie point. He ain't going to do that. There's no chalkboard with the brownie point, your name sticking up. Every time you come to church, or every time you read the Bible, or pray extra long or more than, thanks for the food, pass the potato. Folks, religion will not save you. Simply accepting Jesus Christ into your heart and make him as your Savior and Lord, that will do the job. So, let's stand up. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head.